Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, January 3rd, 2013, as we celebrate our two-year anniversary today. We started this little broadcast adventure on another radio station on January 3rd, 2011. 5 months later, we moved here to KVOI, and we are very happy we did. KVOI owners Doug and Mary Martin, very gracious hosts, and we thank them and everyone associated with KVOI. And our show is live weekdays from noon to one on KVOI, the home of the Buckmaster Show. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. We also post our program to the tucsonsentinel.com website and tucsoncitizen.com as well. We now have links to the show on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Their website's gvnews.com and the homepage for Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. Coming up today on this anniversary edition, a newsmaker interview with the vice chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson. Sharon also represents the board on the TRIO Board of Directors. 30 minutes past the hour, we talk with the treasurer of the state of Arizona, Doug Ducey, about our financial condition here in Arizona as we begin a new year. And we close out with attorney Don Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Don will talk about some new state laws that are now on the books. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. We also will take your question or comment if you would like to post it to our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Well, on Tuesday, the five-member board of the Pima County Supervisors will get down to business for 2013, including a new member on the board, Allie Miller, a Republican, will represent District 1. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Sharon Bronson, the vice chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Bronson, how are you today, and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and congratulations on your, I didn't realize this was your second anniversary.
Yeah, today's the day. It all began 2 years ago, and here we are going strong. So the board will face some new challenges, I'm sure, getting going with 2013 and some old ones. And the old ones, of course, will be the financial picture, correct?
Always the financial picture. As we look forward to a new legislative session, we're hoping that their behavior in the past will not be repeated in the future, and that we will not see any additional cost shifts, and that we'll actually see our HERF revenues, our highway user revenue funds, restored. That helps us fill potholes and fix our streets. So we're hopeful that we'll have a better session this year than we've had in the past.
Have you met with the new board member, Allie Miller?
I have a number of times. She's been extremely gracious, and I think she's ready to get down to business. Her focus, like mine, she comes from the private sector and is focused on the financial issues. So I expect that we'll have some very interesting discussions and kind of down-to-business discussions about how to do business and protect taxpayers in this coming year.
Pima County workers have not had a raise in 5 years. Many are taking home smaller paychecks because of inflation and the rising costs of their benefits. Is there something in the fiscal year budget 2013 that will make them happy?
We have just begun that process, and I think earlier, prior to Allie Miller coming on the board, the board members, the previous board, had directed the county administrator to make that the top priority. Again, we're, there are several factors that will play into this. One of them will, of course, be what happens in D.C. with sequestration. And the other one will be how the state handles its budget and whether Pima County is once again required to write a check for the, to the state so it can balance its budget. But certainly my top priority, and the previous board unanimously has said that we'd like to, if there is sufficient funds, we'd like to first look at providing some raises for Pima County employees.
Sequestration, the defense cuts delayed by 2 months because we did not go over the fiscal cliff, thank goodness. And now that has been delayed. As they say, the can has been kicked down the road for a couple of months. But there are still, as you know, Sharon Bronson, a lot of nervous people at Raytheon because of what could possibly happen here. And I know you're very active on this and tuned into what's going on because of your association with Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, the Economic Developer Trio. You're on their board of directors. So what are you hearing about this?
We are hoping that there will be an agreement reached that lets us not look at some of the things that were going to happen with sequestration. Certainly, I'm hopeful that our newly elected senator, Jeff Flake, will be there for us. But one has to understand that Raytheon is our largest private sector employer. If Raytheon loses jobs, that means the county, all the jurisdictions, will see that, and it will affect our budget. So we will be working very in concert with Raytheon to try to limit any negative effect from sequestration. And I don't know, Bill, if you can tell me why they use that word. I remember it from my chemistry class. It was a chemistry. I mean, it really was. It was all about some chemistry reactions. And I'm still curious as to how they came up with that word, because I don't know what they're sequestering.
Boy, I don't have a clue on that one, Sharon. Perhaps some of our listeners do. 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. We have Pima County Vice Chair of the Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson, on our Buckmaster Show live line. And shortly before the board adjourned for the holidays, the board became the first local jurisdiction to support a series of joint business objectives designed to stimulate economic activity in our region by shaping a cooperative working relationship with the private sector. The Tucson Metropolitan Chamber was involved in drafting these objectives, working with the county. What are some of the highlights of those objectives, Sharon Bronson?
Well, I think there are a number of focus areas. One of those is how to restore our Convention and Visitors Bureau traffic and how to bring more tourists in here. I think the other is, again, focused on the high-tech industries very much in conjunction with TRIO, protecting aerospace and defense, looking at our opportunities because of our proximity to the border with Mexico, and looking at our green opportunities, if you will, with solar in particular. And we've seen, I think, within the last, or during December, Unisource Energy, in conjunction with the private sector, we are now going to have a utility-scale solar facility in Avra Valley. So we're looking toward the future. We're looking to the 21st century. We're not looking at the jobs of the past. We're looking at what we know we can do and what we're good at, and hopefully over the next 10 years, this emphasis will bear fruit in terms of providing well-paying jobs to the residents of this community.
And, you know, the knock, as you know, had been on that the board was not business-friendly. Well, this, I think, will go a ways to perhaps dispelling that notion, because the chamber was all on board with this, weren't they?
Absolutely. The chamber was on board, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, certainly TRIO. I think the next step in this process, though, is making or sealing that deal, if you will, so that the jurisdictions, all the jurisdictions in this region, are on board. Because if a new firm comes to any jurisdiction, every one of us benefits in this region. So I think the opportunity here, and where we have to focus our energy, is making sure this is a regional effort and that everybody participates, not only private sector, but all members of the public sector, because when anybody wins, we all win.
Coming up now on 12:15 on The Buckmaster Show, we have Sharon Bronson with us on The Buckmaster Show live line. We're going to ask Supervisor Bronson to stick around through the break and join us for a second segment on this Thursday edition, the two-year anniversary edition of The Buckmaster Show. So stay with us. Please support these people who support The Buckmaster Show.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and Sun Shuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Well, 20 now on the Buckmaster Show, our two-year anniversary edition here on KVOI. This portion of Buckmaster is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. A lot of fun coming up over there with their Red Paint Powwow, an event in Silver City on the weekend of January 18th, 19th, and 20th. Silver City makes a great weekend getaway, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson, plenty of wonderful places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Bear Paw Ranch, Buckhorn RV Park, and Casitas de Gila guest houses. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our conversation with Pima County Vice Chair of the Board of Supervisors. Sharon Bronson is with us, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Bronson, she would be happy to take that comment. Coming up on Monday, the new Pima County Courthouse, there will be a what's being called a final beam celebration as the final beam of the new courthouse is installed. It's a new 7-story building at North Stone and East Toole Avenues. It's a $105 million project. And Sharon Bronson, this put a lot of construction workers to work, and thankfully so, didn't it?
Yes, and I think that's probably a major talking point here, that we did put people back to work in a time when the economy was struggling. And this topping off ceremony is certainly something, is good news and something to be celebrated. The shell is that we should finish that shell by late 2013. It's going to be about a 290,000 square foot complex on a 4-acre parcel. And it's the topping off ceremony, as I said, is going to be Monday the 7th. And several of my colleagues will be there, and they will be signing the final beam before it's hoisted into place. I think it's going to be about 140 feet above the ground. So we're hopeful that we'll finish the shell late 2013, and that we'll begin the tenant improvements in the fall of 2013 with occupancy, we hope, in early 2015. And it's going to provide the kind of security that our court system needs, and we're very pleased that this has come in sooner than expected, even though we had some snafu at the beginning because it was being built over an old cemetery, so we had some issues there, but it's now in terms of the building itself, we're under budget, although having to deal with the cemetery took us a little over budget in terms of the bond issue.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan has a comment about raises for county employees. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Sharon Bronson.
Yes, thank you, Bill, for your program.
Thank you.
I'm having a dinner for some of my employees and your voters tomorrow night, and I'm sure they'll be glad to hear, since they're living on 20% less than they were making 4 years ago, that your primary objective is to give county employees a raise when they can't even afford to feed their kids. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. As you know, it's been a struggle. We've been fortunate, I think, in the county in that we didn't have any employee layoffs and that we were able to at least not have mandatory days off without pay, but it's been a tough road for our county employees, and we're very appreciative that they've stayed with us during these times, and we're hopeful that this coming year will be able to stop that trend of not giving raises and actually start rewarding employees for all their hard work and all the good things they do for us and for all our constituents.
790-2040, 790 if you have a comment or question for Sharon Bronson. Is there any news about when we're going to get some further developments concerning the Rosemont Copper Mine, Sharon?
At this point, given we have a new Congress and it's not terribly clear in terms of who will, if the president will keep his current cabinet, we're not quite sure where this is going. But certainly we continue to be concerned that our watershed is protected and that the Rosemont crew plays by the rules that the rest of us have to play by. And so we'll see where this goes in this coming year. But there's still a number of hoops that they have to jump through, and we still don't know whether or not they're going to have to do a new EIS. So we're awaiting that. But we, at this point, have had no new information coming out of the federal government, who ultimately makes this decision. It's not Pima County.
We will have pretty much the whole show devoted to Rosemont. We will have a debate here coming up on Wednesday, January 16th. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll will be representing those opposed to Rosemont. Ray has been pretty much opposed to Rosemont from the very beginning. Bill Ossenbacher of the Tucson Business Coalition, president of that group, will be speaking in favor of Rosemont. So it should be a very interesting hour on January the 16th. Let's go back now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Roberta, you're with Sharon Bronson. Go ahead.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bronson, and congratulations, Bill, on your second year.
Thank you.
My question, Supervisor Bronson, is about the recent vote and going into health insurance for the employees with Pima County, self-insuring them. What does that entail, and why does that benefit Pima County by self-insuring your employees for their health insurance?
Excellent question. What we're trying to do with that, and we think we're at that critical level where we can, is reduce cost to the county and therefore to the employees while providing better access to health care. We are going out for bids on this, so we'll see how that evolves. At this point, we don't know what we're going to get back. But we've reached the tipping point when, given the number of employees, the ages of employees, where we think we can actually reduce costs, provide better services by self-insuring. Now, it will all be, the tale will be told when we get those bids back and see how that evolves. But again, we're hoping for better health outcomes and for lower health costs by self-insuring.
I have a question about the new county smoking ban. That took effect, is that correct, Sharon, on January 1st?
It took effect on January 1st, and I believe we're the first public entity to do that. And again, it's our focus on wellness. You can't look at things in a vacuum. And if we're going to have a healthy population, it's got to start with us doing our job, and I think that smoking ban will help us achieve outcomes for folks that will keep them healthier longer.
Got only a few seconds to go, and I know it's been a topic of concern for the county, the ongoing Marana sewage treatment, the county's wastewater sewage treatment plant, and Marana. Just give us the bottom line. Is that six or seven? I think it started in 2007. Dispute. Is it just about behind us?
It appears like it may be. We may be finally resolving this issue. Marana, it appears, is we offered them two alternatives in terms of a settlement and is interested in one of them where they would take over the plant. So we'll be working through that with them, but it looks like they have expressed that interest. But for that to happen, they need to be successful in their March election that will allow them, that where their citizens will vote as to whether or not to allow them to operate a treatment plant. So, but I'm hopeful that we stop spending money on attorneys, even though I know they need to make a living, and start spending it on constituents making a positive difference, maybe filling a few more potholes.
There you go. Sharon Bronson, Happy New Year to you, and we'll be following what goes on with Pima County government here on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day. Thank you, Sharon.
No, thank you, Bill.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The 113th Congress is officially in session. The House re-elected John Boehner as Speaker. The embattled Ohio Republican will serve another two-year term. In the Senate, Vice President Joe Biden swore in 12 new members elected in November and South Carolina Republican Tim Scott. U.S. antitrust regulators say they have found no evidence to claims that Google unfairly favors its own services and search results. The Federal Trade Commission also says Google is agreeing to license patents deemed to be essential for rival mobile devices such as Apple's iPhone and iPad. A sixth man has pleaded guilty in connection with racially motivated attacks by young whites against blacks in Jackson, Mississippi. Joseph Paul Dominic, who is 21, faces up to 5 years in prison. This is SRN News.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
.12:35 now on the Buckmaster Show. This is the 2-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show on the radio. This portion presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more on their fine website, SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from the state capitol, Doug Ducey. He is the treasurer for the state of Arizona. Doug, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
Boy, you had some really nice recognition coming your way. I'll tell our listeners briefly about it. The Arizona Republic named Doug Ducey one of 13 Arizonans to watch in 2013. And then Glenn Hammer, as you know, Doug, is the head of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, and he gave you the Impact Player of the Year Award. That's pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it was good. It was flattering. It was nice to see. Most of it's about stuff that happened last year, so now we've got to do some good stuff this year.
And this year, how does the budget look, Doug?
Well, you know, we're heading into session next week, and I think we're on sound financial footing as a state. People know we have money in a rainy day fund, $450 million earning interest. Today's available operating cash is over $1 billion. So I think we're in good shape. It's just in public policy, you want to make sure you're making good decisions going forward. So keep an eye on this legislative session and how the budget conversations happen, because we want to make sure that we continue to live within our means and have a plan for a positive scenario, but also in case the economy slips as well.
I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you are watching it very closely, being the state's financial officer, about the so-called fiscal cliff. Well, we have weathered one battle, but we've got a couple very important ones coming up that will concern the credit rating for the United States of America. And how does that play for a state like Arizona?
Well, I want to say I think my observations on the fiscal cliff were very disappointing. I mean, I can't remember a New Year's Day where I was flipping from the Rose Bowl to Fox News to see what Congress was doing. So I thought it was a shame that we're in that kind of a situation at the end of the year or the first day of a new year and the last day of a legislative session. And the other thing I think that was lost in this debate is it became a discussion about tax rates rather than about America's spending and the amount of spending that we have beyond our means, beyond the amount of taxes that we collect. I'd like that to see that become part of the discussion as we approach the debt ceiling. And I think it's critical that we resolve this spending issue and not get stuck in a debate about our credit rating with Moody's or S&P or Fitch. To me, that's of very little relevance. What's more important is that we begin to have a path to where we live within our means.
As I recall, you were probably hoping Wisconsin won the Rose Bowl, being an Ohio State fan.
Well, I think now being, you know, I'm a transplant from Ohio in 1982, and growing up, I certainly would have looked to the Big Ten team. But, you know, I'm a graduate from a university in our state here, and we're Pac-12 people. So I was thinking, let's root for Stanford and let them beat up on Wisconsin, who probably didn't belong in that bowl to begin with five losses.
And just one more quick sports note. It's very, very rare that I get to boast about my other Wildcats, the Northwestern Wildcats, with an Ohio State fan, as Northwestern won the Gator Bowl the first time they've won a bowl since 1949 when they beat Cal in the Rose Bowl. So it was
impressive. And I'll tell you, everybody in the Midwest is thanking goodness for Northwestern, because I think it's the only big. Oh, I think Michigan State won as well. But other than that, the Big Ten went dry.
We're already planning to be back in Evanston for that game in early October with Ohio State. Should be a lot of fun. Getting back to the situation with Prop 118, you were very much out front on 118. It did pass, which helps create a more reliable funding stream into the K-12 system. Is that going to be a big impact player?
Well, I think over the course of time and for sound financial management, it will be a big impact player. We'll never have a year of a $0 distribution. It'll mean about $10 million more with no additional general fund spending or no new taxes for this upcoming school year. But the real win is in the budgeting process and the fact that we're not going to have years of willy-nilly, 1 year up $80 million, the next year we have zero. It's impossible for these districts and these principals to budget with that kind of system. So we fixed that through Proposition 118. We let that out of the treasurer's office, and I'm grateful to the voters for allowing that to pass. A lot of times something like that, it actually changes constitutional language, takes a couple cycles to get over the finish line. This went over in the first time out, and I think it's a real testament to the skill of the voter in Arizona, that they can see a complex issue like that as a net benefit for education and a sound fiscal decision as well, and they passed it.
Doug Ducey is with us. He is the state treasurer of Arizona, and of course, Doug was very much out front. He was the lead person, the spear point, if you will, on the opposition to Proposition 204. That was the education sales tax initiative. Did you make a lot of enemies in the education community, Doug?
Well, you know, I work with the folks on Proposition 118, and I think my commitment to education and wanting to see improved outcomes and results, the fact that I've in the past been a member of the Teach for America Regional Board, a member of the State Charter School Board, that they see that there's a commitment to education. We just had a difference on how to get there. You know, it was nice to start this phone call, Bill, talking about the over $1 billion in cash that we have available today. So if funding is needed, let's make the case down at the legislature. I'm more than happy to sit shotgun with anyone and talk about the financial health and condition of the state. But I just thought the idea of a permanent sales tax that would make us the second highest sales tax in the country and had funding that actually didn't go to education was not the right way to fix education. So that's behind us. It's yesterday's news, and I'm willing to work with anyone that wants to get the proper outcomes and better results inside education. So I think it's more about what we do going forward than what happened in 2012.
You know, you've got a fat checkbook. What did you say? $1 billion? Is that what you were saying?
Today's balance is $1.5 billion. That's $289 million more than we had last year at this time.
And how does that compare to just a few years ago?
Well, if you go back just a few years, I always choose December of 2009, we were negative $730 million. So we were literally borrowing on a credit card issued by Bank of America to pay teachers and fill potholes. We're in a dramatically different situation today, and it's a testament to sound financial management from the legislature, the governor's office, and I'd like to think the conservative cash management plan out of the state treasurer's office.
So we'll quickly, Doug, we're just about out of time. Will the rainy day fund that be an issue in this upcoming session?
Well, I think it will be. I'd like to see if our economy continues to head in the right direction. Our revenues continue to tick up. Let's fatten that rainy day fund. It's $451 million today. I think we should put some more in it, but we also should talk about what's needed and necessary for essential state services and make the case at the legislature and make sure we're properly funding them.
Doug Ducey on the two-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Doug, and have a great day.
Congratulations, Phil, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Doug Ducey with us on the Buckmaster Show. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new Landscape Evolution Observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
The RTA. Delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:49 on this Thursday afternoon, our two-year anniversary here of radio in Southern Arizona. And we are delighted to have with us Don Luce. Attorney Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal advisor. He is with Luce, Brown & Associates, who have offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that is now out in a revised edition. His other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you. Happy New Year.
Bill, same to you, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. I think we can keep saying Happy New Year, too, for a few more days.
A couple of more days.
A couple more, but then after that, it's like, well, we're into the New Year. Speaking of the New Year, we've got some new laws that take effect. People would think, you would think that most laws passed by the legislature, Don Luce, would take effect at the first of the year, but that's not necessarily the case here in Arizona.
No, generally speaking, in Arizona, Bill, the laws take effect 90 days after the end of the legislative session. Now, the exception is if the legislature itself says there's going to be some other effective date, then whatever effective date the legislature says the law will take effect is the actual date. In this case, the legislature passed several laws during the last legislative session that did not take effect 90 days after it ended, but rather on the first of the year. So we have about six new laws on the book that took effect on Tuesday.
And kind of the marquee law of those six, those half dozen, would be the minimum wage increase?
Yes, and that wasn't as a result of anything the legislature did last session. Your listeners may recall that several years ago, the voters of Arizona actually passed a proposition that provided for a minimum wage. And under the terms of that proposition, the minimum wage is adjusted on the first day of each new year to take into account inflation. So January 1st, the minimum wage in Arizona went from $7.65 to $7.80 per hour. And the federal minimum wage, by comparison, is $7.25 per hour. So Arizona is actually more than the federal minimum wage by more than 50 cents.
Other law that is getting attract quite a bit of news coverage, the custody law, which took effect on Tuesday. Is this going to change? What are the major changes with this one?
Well, the major change with this custody law is that it puts parents on a more equal footing. For years, the courts have been admonished not to take into account the parent's gender in awarding custody or visitation. But anecdotally, it seems the mother has, in more cases than not, been awarded custody. We have been moving away from that, and study after study shows that it's in the children's best interest to have a significant and not necessarily equal, but fairly close to equal parenting time with both the mother and the father. And so this new law that took effect on Tuesday even changes the concept of custody. It's now parenting time. There is no custodial designation and there is no visitation designation. It's parenting time, and the court awards each parent an amount of time relative to what the court deems to be in the best interest of the child. And that is the test. What is in the child's best interest? And a child who doesn't spend a significant amount of time with each parent, studies have shown, is generally not going to do as well as one who does.
So this is I think this is a significant change, isn't it?
It really is. When we look back on the custody statutes, we see that for decades, the courts have traditionally awarded custody to one parent and visitation to the other parent. And if you go back even 20 years, let's say, in most of the cases, one parent was awarded custody, and the non-custodial parent only had access, which was called visitation, generally speaking, every other weekend, and maybe one night during the week. But you know what? That's not enough. And the courts, I think, are now recognizing that. And under this new statute, the judges are required to, in most cases, try to strike a pretty even balance between the parents in terms of the amount of time that each parent spends with the child.
And that custody law has now taken effect, and so a lot of responsibility will be on the judge to decide how much time the parents are going to get with the child.
Right, and some of the criteria that the courts have always considered remain in place. So, for instance, if there's domestic violence, that's going to affect it. It's not necessarily in the best interest of a child to spend time on an equal basis
in an abusive household.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And there's also a requirement that requires the judge to consider the potential future relationship between a parent and a child in determining parenting time. And so what this would contemplate is whether a parent is likely to remain in state or not, and try to look forward to see what the likely relationship would be.
Just one more question on that, about the physical custody, or the where the child will actually be living. Now, will that then be the decision of the judge as well?
Yes, and the trend is away from a situation where the child spends the vast majority of his or her time at one parent's house, and more towards a situation where the child spends a significant amount of time at each parent's house.
Don Luce is with us, attorney who has offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce comes in to join us on the Buckmaster Show once a month, usually the first Thursday of the month, and we talk about legal developments, and there's never a shortage of legal developments, and that's why Don Luce wrote a book about Arizona Laws 101, and that's why he did a revised edition that kept you very busy, didn't it?
It did. You know, Arizona is a fascinating place if you're a lawyer or a follower of laws, because there is so much change. The legislature here is so proactive, and we have a very proactive executive branch as well. A lot of cases that have made it to the Supreme Court have come from the state of Arizona out of laws that were enacted by the legislature.
A bill that is going to be considered, I guess, in the upcoming legislature will be a Republican state lawmaker, Representative Phil Lovis, I believe it is, of Peoria, the Phoenix area, who is talking about moving up, Don Luce, the Arizona presidential primary.
Well, this is something that Governor Jen Brewer, this is a subject she broached the last time around. And under House Bill 2017, Arizona would have its primary on the same day as the Iowa caucus. So it would be right at the beginning of the political season. And the sponsor of the bill has said that he is in favor of moving the date up, because by the time the vote gets to Arizona, the number of candidates has been winnowed down to only two or three, and so Arizonans don't get to vote on the full slate. I think it was interesting that Arizona was actually number nine in line, actually number 10 if you count Iowa, which is a caucus and not a primary. But anyway, there were at least eight primaries ahead of Arizona's, and Arizona's was on February 28th, which is, you know, fairly early in the primary season. Under Phil Lovis's proposal, however, HB 2017 would move us up to basically number one. We would be number one. Other states have said that they're not going to go along with that, and I think that the Republican Party might have some objection to it as well, as they seem to have during the last election cycle.
And the law currently sets Arizona's election for the fourth Tuesday in February. And the way things have been going over the last couple of election cycles, yeah, it's pretty much over by then.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Bill, because there's already some flexibility in Arizona to do what Representative Lovis wants to do without legislation. The current law, which does set our primary on the fourth Tuesday in February, also gives the governor authority to schedule an earlier primary as long as she sets the date at least 150 days ahead of time. So she has that authority, but politically, that's a tough thing to do.
Don Luce, thank you very much. Don Luce is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, now out in a second edition. And if you're thinking about estate planning, and everybody should be, shouldn't they, Don?
Especially.
Estate Planning in Arizona is Don's other book, What You Need to Know. Don, have a great new year.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We serve Culligan here to all our guests on the Buckmaster Show. Why? Because it simply tastes better. John C. Scott Show has moved now from 1 hour to 2, expanded from now. He is on from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, so catch John's show this afternoon. Then tomorrow, the Friday edition of Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. And on the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Focus interview, Councilman Steve Kasachek. And we'll be talking about his gun buyback program. Steve on the front page of the papers again. That's tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.